Express. And today we are going to look at Miracle on 34th Street, which was originally released in 1947 and won 3 Academy Awards. How many of you have watched it? Oh, wow. So you know the story pretty well. But for those who have not had a chance to watch it, you will learn something about it. But you will, I strongly urge you to watch that movie after this is over. You will not regret. It's wonderful. How many of you have watched it over and over and over again? Yes, it's a beautiful movie. One interesting fact about this Christmas comedy drama is that it was first released not during Christmas season, but in early May. Isn't that interesting? The movie begins with the annual Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Doris Walker, who is in charge of the parade, discovers the Santa who was to be on the float is intoxicated. The Santa is too drunk to participate in the parade. His excuse of drinking was, "It's too cold." So now Doris immediately has to find someone else to replace him. Luckily, she sees Kris Kringle nearby the drunken Santa and hires him on the scene. Kris does a great job in the parade, so he is hired again, this time to be the Santa at the store, at Macy's department store on 34th Street in New York City. However, there's something about Doris Walker. The truth about her is that she does not believe in Santa. Though that is her job to hire and manage a Santa Claus each year for her company, she does not care much about the idea of Santa. She sees the world through her intellect and common sense. Doris says to her neighbor, Fred Guiley, "I think we should be realistic and completely truthful with our children and not have them growing up believing in a lot of legends and myths, like Santa Claus, for example." So it is no wonder that her little daughter, Susie, does not believe in Santa Claus either. Kris Kringle believes Christmas has become too commercialized and has lost its true meaning. So working as a Santa at Macy's, he is now determined to correct the wrong. The toy department supervisor advises Kris to suggest other toys to the children when he finds out that Macy's does not have the toys they want. But instead, Kris tells the children that they will get what they want, and he sends the parents to other stores for the boys their children want. The toy department supervisor is shocked and can't believe his ears whenever he hears what Kris is saying to people. But he soon realizes that Kris' action is creating rather positive responses from their customers. They're all saying, "We will come back to shop at Macy's because you sent us to other stores to find out what we want. We were treated with honesty and kindness. Because of the unexpected outcome of Kris' action, all other departments at the Macy's adopt the same retail policy. Through all this, they learn a valuable lesson, which is when you put the needs of your customers first, their hearts will be open to you and they will become more loyal to you. Soon, Macy's competitors also adopt Macy's policy of sending their customers to other stores when they do not have the items they are looking for. Because of Kris Kringle, a new Santa at Macy's, people in the city of New York experience Christmas differently this year. Christmas is no longer about themselves and meeting their own needs, but now about others and meeting their needs, meeting the needs of others first. That's the true spirit of Christmas, isn't it? People are inspired to be more generous toward others than ever before. Yet despite all the great things Chris has done for Macy's, Doris discovers something troubling about Chris. Now, let's take a look.
To explain to you is, come in.
You said you wanted to see me, Mrs. Walker.
Come right in.
Hello there. Good to see you again.
It's nice to see you.
You're awfully lucky, Mrs. Walker. Lovely little girl you have here.
Thank you. And Susan's the reason I asked you to drop down. She's a little confused, and I thought maybe you could help to straighten her out.
I'd be glad to.
Would you please tell her that you're not really Santa Claus? That there actually is no such person?
Well, I'm sorry to disagree with you, Mrs. Walker, but not only is there such a person, but here I am to prove it.
No, no, no. You misunderstand. I want you to tell her the truth. What's your name?
Kris Kringle.
I'll bet you're in the first grade.
Second.
I mean your real name.
That is my real name. Second grade?
It's a progressive school.
Oh, it's a progressive school.
May I have this gentleman's employment card, please?
Yes, Mrs. Walker.
This dress is very cute. Where did you get such a lovely outfit?
Here at Macy's. We get 10% off.
Please don't feel that you have to keep pretending for Susan's benefit. She's a very intelligent child and always wants to know the absolute truth.
Good, because I always tell the absolute truth. Now, about your school, what's the name of your teacher?
Mrs. Haney.
Mrs. Haney.
Here it is, Mrs. Walker.
Oh, thank you.
Well, what else do you do besides read and play games?
We have recipes. 1/2 hour.
Oh, I don't suppose you care for that.
No, we're not allowed to talk or anything. Tuesday, Chester Richards, he kept talking all the time.
My, that was bad.
Yes, Mrs. Haney made him stay resting all alone for nearly an hour.
Susan, dear, would you go out and talk to Miss Adams for a minute and I'll be right with you?
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye, young lady. Hope to see you again.
Thank you. I hope so, too. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Kringle.
I'm sorry, but we're going to have to make a change.
Change?
The Santa Claus that we had 2 years ago is back in town, and I feel that we owe it to
him. Have I done something wrong?
Oh, no.
Yes, Chris believes he is really Santa Claus. But Doris believes he is mentally ill. So, what does she do? She tries to fire him, but the president of her company thinks this is great. So she cannot fire him anymore. So she sends him to be examined by Macy's psychologist, Dr. Sawyer, who then diagnoses Chris to be delusional and potentially violent. Chris ends up locked up in a mental hospital and later taken to court. Fred Gailey, Doris's neighbor and boyfriend, who happens to be a lawyer, believes in Chris and comes to his defense. It's a tough case for Fred because he has to prove that Chris is actually Santa Claus, as he claims. Fred sees goodness in people. He has faith in them, and he hopes for their future. And Fred is willing to give up everything. His job and reputation, his future employment opportunities, his secured and comfortable lifestyle, for what he believes in and fight for Chris. As you can imagine, Doris is very upset with Fred because she cannot understand his decision. She tells Fred to be realistic and face the facts. When Fred suspects that Doris does not have faith in him, she responds, "It's not a question of faith. It's just common sense." To which Fred replies, "Faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. Don't you see? It's not just Chris that's on trial. It's everything he stands for. It's kindness, joy, love, and all other intangibles." But Doris cannot believe those intangibles because they do not make sense. So she says, "Those lovely intangibles are attractive, but aren't worth much." Actually, many people are like Doris. They look at the world through the lens of common sense. For them, faith has to be supported by visible proof and evidence. But the Bible defines faith as the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. As we heard last Sunday, Jesus told his disciples, "Blessed are those who believe and have not seen." And as we read together earlier, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Hope that is seen is not hope." Common sense tells us that the Christmas story, God coming into the world as a human being, is unrealistic. It cannot be grasped with common sense, yet the story of the birth of Jesus makes sense when we embrace the intangibles of faith, hope, joy, peace, and love. When we desire to see beyond what we can see with our own eyes. When we are willing to embrace something greater than what we can imagine. And that something is our God who sent Jesus Christ as the light of the world. When we surrender ourselves to God, we can see the Christ child in Bethlehem, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Now, despite his pure and good intentions, Fred struggles to prove that Kris Kringle is a real Santa because he cannot find any supporting evidence. Then something totally unexpected happens, and he wins the case. Let's take a look.
"Further exhibits, Your Honor, but I hesitate to produce them."
"Oh, I'm sure we'll be very happy to see them."
"Yes, yes, yes. Produce them, Mr. Gailey. Put them here on my desk."
"But, Your Honor..."
"Put them here on the desk. Put them..."
"Yes, Your Honor."
"Your Honor,
Your Honor, every one of these letters is addressed to Santa Claus. The post office has delivered them. Therefore, the Post Office Department, a branch of the federal government, recognizes this man, Kris Kringle, to be the one and only Santa Claus.
Since the United States government declares this man to be Santa Claus, this court will not dispute it. Case dismissed.
Actually, what happened was, at the post office, as these mail handlers were handling the mail, this is Christmas time, there's so many Christmas cards, these letters to Santa Claus that children send, and the post office, actually, they do not have any place to put them, send them, deliver them. So they usually end up in those bags in their storage area. So when they saw this trial is going on, this person suggested, wow, how about we actually deliver all these letters to Santa, to real Santa, and that so that they can get rid of their problem. And that became a great miracle for Fred. Miracle comes to us when we do not expect at all. Doris Walker experiences changes when she opens her heart to Kris Kringle, and she comes to believe in him through the love her little daughter Susie and her friend Fred. As she believes in Kris, and her life changes. The miracle on 34th Street is a miracle of hope being born in Doris, the miracle of hope coming into the world through Kris Kringle, who symbolizes Jesus Christ. Actually, the name Kris Kringle comes from the word Christ Kindle, which means Christ child. During the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther thought too much focus was being given to the 4th century bishop, St. Nicholas, also known as Santa Claus. So he tried to shift the focus from Sinterklaas to Christkindl, from Santa Claus to Christchild, so Christ could be the focus. Eventually, Christkindl became Kris Kringle in English. So Kris Kringle is actually just another name for the Christ child. You can see many parallels between Kris and Jesus. Many refused to recognize Kris for who he was, as many did not recognize who Jesus was. Some people thought he was crazy, which was what the religious leaders said of Jesus. Kris was falsely accused, as Jesus was. Kris went on trial, as did Jesus. And Kris changed people's heart through his love for them and gave them hope, which is something Jesus did also. Let's take a look at the last clip now, see how the little girl Susie's dream came true.
I believe. Stop, Uncle Fred, stop!
Susie! Where are you?
Susie!
I'm upstairs!
Calm right down. You know you shouldn't run around in other people's houses. You know better than that.
But this is my house, Mommy. The one I asked Mr. Kringle for. It is. I know it is. My room upstairs is just like I knew it would be. Oh, you were right, Mommy.
first time, you still got to believe. And I kept believing and you were right, Mommy. Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
Where are you going?
To see if there's a swing. There is one! There is one!
You told her that? Sign outside said it's for sale. We can't let her down.
I never really doubted you. It was just my silly common sense.
It even makes sense to believe in me now. I must be a pretty good lawyer. I'd take a little old man and legally prove to the world that he's Santa Claus. Now, you know that...
Must have been left here by the people that moved out.
Maybe. Maybe I didn't do such a wonderful thing after all.
Truly, everyone whom Chris touched through his love and hope changed, including Doris and Susie. This Advent, we are waiting for the Christ child to appear. We recognize the Christ child for who he really is. Will we allow our faith and hope to be bigger than our intellect, common sense, and reasoning? Will we allow the spirit of the season, or as Fred Cayley says, the lovely intangibles of kindness, joy, and love to dwell in us? Will you be the bearer of Christ's light to the places of darkness? Will you bring Christ's hope to the hopeless? Will you be today's Kris Kringle? Thanks be to God. Amen.